Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Carl from Deviant Legion and, of course, Film and Stuff. And today we have one of our favorite guests coming back on, Mark Pirro. Mark is a director. He's done such wonderful films as Death Row Game Show, The God Complex, Polish Vampire in Burbank, and we actually had him on as a commentary watch during Pride Month on Curse of the Werewolf. And, of course, my favorite of his, Rectuma. We won't go into that right now. But Mark actually has a documentary that is going to be premiering at the Raindance Film Festival in London, England. And we are, like, really surprised. This is great news, Mark. Congratulations.
Yeah, it is. Surprised. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
So tell us a little bit about how this started.
Well, what happened was about a year ago, a friend of mine named Matt Devlin, who also was a filmmaker, a Super 8 filmmaker, I met him in the 80s when I was promoting Polish Vampire. He did a movie called Attack of the Mutant Rednecks, I think, or the Zombie Attack of the Mutant Rednecks. And he made it on Super 8 like I did. And anyway, we met at the American Film Market, and you know, we became friends, but then we lost touch for a long time. Then he contacted me about a year ago, and he said, my movie is going to be coming out on Blu-ray, and I would love to shoot an interview with you as a filmmaker that also made Super 8 films and at the same time I was doing it. So we went to this hotel in Santa Monica, and we did this interview in the lobby, and I was basically talking about filmmaking and the whole bit. And that was the end of that. That was going to be supplemental for the Blu-ray of his movie. Then I get a call about a year later saying, you know, Mark, we've got about 45 minutes worth of great stuff with you talking about Super 8 filmmaking and all that. I think this would work better as its own documentary, not necessarily supplemental for my movie, but its own thing. So, but he said, instead of, you know, just 45 minutes of you talking, do you happen to have a behind the scenes footage that we could supplement this documentary with? So he sent me the interview that he did with me, and every time I would be talking about something, whether it'd be talking about a scene from Polish Vampire or talking about filming something, you know, I'd go in the archives and I'd find footage to illustrate what I was talking about. And anyway, this thing evolved and it grew into this, I guess, hour and 15 minute documentary now, which covers my entire career from even before I moved out to California. It starts with when I was making films at 14 and 15, and then goes all the way to my last film, The Deceased Won't Desist, which they did in 2021. So that's kind of what it is. Now it's standing on its own as its own documentary, and it's going to the Raindance Film Festival.
Well, that's outstanding. Now, I must say, and we just talked about this off air, I wasn't really pleased with the title, which at the point that you talked to me about doing the show, it was Spielberg on a Shoestring, but I guess that has changed now.
That's correct. Yeah, they had batted around a bunch of different titles like Shoestring Ninja, or I forget some of the other crazy titles that were thrown around. Pyrophanalia, I think, was one of them. And, but none of them really hit the nail on the head. So they just recently decided on Hollywood on a Shoestring, which I guess kind of, you know, I mean, they were looking for something quirky like Robert Rodriguez had a book out called Rebel Without a Crew, and that was kind of talking about his filmmaking experience. And that's kind of a cute and clever title. So they wanted something along that lines, and we really didn't come up with anything too cute and quirky or clever, so they settled in on Hollywood on a Shoestring. And then I think the subline is, you know, the Mark Pirro story or whatever. But I don't have I have a bit of input into the stuff that went into it, but this isn't really my project. You know, this is Matt Devlin's project, the guy that I told you I knew from years back.
Well, as you know, did all this and that, and I don't want to go into specifics particularly because I want people to watch the documentary, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as you went through everything that you did, and you started with Death Row Game Show, and before that doing the Super 8s and so on, did you ever imagine that somebody would do a documentary on you, even like a year ago or 2 years ago?
No, you never really did. I guess in the back of my mind, I was always hoping somebody would do a narrative movie like Tim Burton did for Ed Wood. You know, who would have thought Ed Wood would have a movie about him? You know, but there have been numerous documentaries about him, of course, all of them after he died. So I always figured, you know, when I die, then maybe some of these stories will start coming out. But no, I never really thought about winning like this. And it was kind of an experience for me just to go through all of this archival footage because I happen to collect a lot of stuff. So, you know, we found footage that I did from Entertainment Tonight and Hard Copy. And there was an interview that I did locally back in 1983, I think it was, with Meredith McRae, who had her own local talk show called Mid-Morning LA. And I still happen to have that footage. So, you know, we put snippets of that in it. I even have footage of me as a 17-year-old saying, "Hi, this is Mark Pirro. This is let me tell you about my next great movie." You know, so I got this footage and every time I kept sending, you know, more footage to Matt, the documentarian, he would say, "This is great. Send me more. What else you got?" So I really literally started going through the archives and just finding all kinds of stuff to really, you know, supplement this. And at the end of the day, he said, "You know, I should give you credit on this as, you know, part filmmaker." I go, no, I don't need the credit. It's your documentary. I'm happy to supply you with whatever we can to embellish it. You know, nobody wants to see me talking for 45 minutes without cutting away. So, you know, we've got clips, you know, clips from all the movies that we've done and literally going, like I said, back to the early days and right up till, you know, to now. So it covers the whole story.
Well, I'm hoping one thing is in the documentary, and that is the news clip that I saw about how they hated the submissive Jesus.
Oh, yeah, that's in there. We do actually have a segment Yeah, we talk about the submissive Jesus, and I think we run a snippet of that clip where, you know, they're saying it's offending our Christian family or whatever it is. We've got a few moments from, I think, one or two of the commercials that we did. I mean, we even talk about a porno film that I was a cameraman on briefly, and we show a brief clip
of that moment.
Okay,
you got to give me a title because I have a thing about porno films.
Well, the title of this one was called "I Cream of Genie," and it was the guy that was making these porno films. In fact, one of the actors from Rectuma went into producing porn, and he knew I was an inexpensive cameraman and editor, so he hired me to do one or two of these videos. But he wanted to make a whole series of parodies of television shows. Like, he wanted to do one called I Love Juicy, and he wanted to do, I think, I forget some of the titles, but so he shot one about these two genies in a bottle, and they're trapped, and all they could do is fantasize about having sex. And every time they go into a fantasy, we would shoot a scene with another couple having sex. And I was sort of a fish out of water doing this, because this really isn't my forte, but it was, you know... Yeah, it was good money, you know, and it was a easy shoot. So, but yeah, we even talk about that in the documentary as well. So we pretty much cover everything. Yeah, the documentary should be called Mark Pirro Naked.
Yeah, it's like going to a Catholic church for, what do they call it? I'm not Catholic, so never mind.
Yeah, confession.
Never mind. Anyway.
Right.
So that's good. Now, do they get into – so one of the things I've always found interesting with you and your films is that you are not politically correct at all, which I think is wonderful. And whether or not they cover this in the documentary, I just want your thoughts on, you know, the first thing I ever saw from you was Death Row Game Show, and I've seen Polish Vampire, Quarter Wolf, and Nudist Colony, and all those. And you gleefully go over the line, but you do it with such humor and such good intentions that I, you know, and we talked about this when we did the commentary watch on Werewolf. What's your thoughts on that now that we're in a particular society, you know, where the norms are to be totally, you know, dismissive of that and just offended like always?
Right.
You know.
Well, I'll tell you, Kyle, I've always worked without a filter. I mean, my whole thing is that if it's funny, it stays, if I find it funny. And I know a lot of people don't find things funny, but when you look at stuff you can find today, like South Park and Family Guy, they go beyond where, you know, anywhere I ever went. And that's basically the world catching up, because I was doing this kind of stuff when it wasn't fashionable to make fun of gays or I forget what else we went under, you know, games should death people on death row, whatever. But I think that when I always try to just say, look, if, you know, if somebody gets offended by it, then, you know, screw them. That's their issue, not mine. And in fact, there were a couple of bits that they took out of the documentary, which I wasn't too crazy about, but again, it's not my project. We had a clip for, I think I talked about the abortionists in my last movie, in The Deceased Won't Desist.
Right.
Two of the characters, you know, they work in an abortion clinic, but the abortion clinic is run like Animal House. I mean, they throw fetuses around, you know, they've got, there's a basketball hoop over a biohazard container, you know, I mean, and we had a clip of him, the doctor, throwing a little piece of a fetus at his secretary saying, heads up, you know, incoming. And they decided they didn't want that in the documentary. And I gave a little bit of a protest and I said, you know, it's funny, but they didn't want to go there. And then there was another bit in the documentary where I was talking about other filmmakers that had contacted me that were inspired by films that I had done. And I have these friends up in San Francisco. They're sort of like my second unit. Whenever I need second unit stuff, they do it. But they made two movies on their own. One of them was called Monsterd, which is about a giant shit monster. And the second movie they made was called Retarded, which is about mentally challenged zombies. Well, they decided they didn't want me to talk about Retarded because offensive, right? So in the documentary, that part is cut out. And again, if it were my project, I would say, just leave it in and, you know, be damned if somebody has a problem with it. But unfortunately, you know, you get overruled. So it happens, you know, and what are you going to do? You know, it happens.
Not your project. It's about you, but it's not your project.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're giving me input. They're allowing me to put input, but like I say, I get overruled here and there, and I understand that. I mean, I'm honored that they're taking the time and trouble to do this. And the next step, by the way, is that they're actually working on getting me to go to London, you know, for the premiere of this. And I said, I'd be happy to do it if you guys want to pay for it. So they're, you know, I guess they're scrambling around trying to figure out if they can raise enough money to get me out there. And Matt, the gentleman who is, you know, is making the documentary, he's pretty confident that he will be able to do that. So I might be in London next month.
Well, if you are, I definitely want to get you back and have a report. Now, one thing I do have to ask is, as far as, you know, now it's called Hollywood on a Shoestring. So it's going to be premiering at the Rain Dance Film Festival in October. Are there plans to go to this festival circuit with this, or what's the plans as far as distribution is concerned? one can read is really the question I'm making.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going beyond this. I do know that there's some people in Iceland that he's talking to get them involved in this. So Matt Devlin is kind of a world traveler. I mean, he goes to Tokyo, he goes all over the place, and he seems to think that this is going to go to Iceland as well. And I imagine it'll wind up on streaming services out here in the United States. It'll probably wind up on Amazon or Tubi or wherever other things go. I mean, I've got a bunch of documentaries now that are running on Tubi that I made myself. I have one from Polish Vampire. I have a documentary on Death Row Game Show, which you probably saw if you have the DVD. So those are running up on Tubi. And I've got, I think, Rage of Innocence. They're going to put a documentary up on there on Tubi. And one on Queer Wolf. So, and I just finished making one myself for The God Complex. I just put a documentary together for that. So that'll go up there as well.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, I'll let you know when that one goes up. But I imagine, they'll take this wherever documentaries go. I mean, I really don't know what the plan is beyond Raindance. And, I should probably suggest at some point you get Matt Devlin on your show. He'd probably be a good guest to talk about filmmaking and how this whole thing came about.
Oh, I'd love to have him on. Is he on Facebook or a way I can – well, you can message him and let me know.
Well, yeah, he does. I think he has a Facebook page, but I don't know if he really does Facebook that much. But I could certainly give you all the information and you can contact him.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Please do that. Because we'd love to have him on. As you know, we focus specifically on micro-budget people, and I think it's fascinating. So I guess one of my last questions to you is, now that you have a documentary, it's all about you and your films, are you considering unretiring?
Well, let me put it this way. If somebody said, we've got a budget and we would like you to direct this film, I'd probably consider doing that. But again, going back out in the streets and rolling up my sleeves and doing the whole damn thing myself again, still don't have the ambition to do that. But even Matt's been talking about getting some people involved and, doing more films. And I said, look, if I'm not the producer, I'm fine. It's the producing part of it that really wears me out. The directing part, not so much. But don't forget, for 40 years, I've been producing pretty much everything I've ever done. And that's the part that really drives you nuts, because you have to organize the schedules. You got to deal with the temperamental actors. You got to deal with all of the issues that come about. And as a director, you're a little more narrow, So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
No, I would love to. I'd love to see more from you, simply because I think you're a very unique voice. I don't think there are many people out there that have. The thing I've always loved about your humor is definitely over the top, and it is. But it's sweet. It's. You're not trying really to offend anyone. It's just sweet. I mean, the one that really comes to mind is Nudist Colony of the Dead, which I think I think it's hysterical. B, I think it's some of the best music in the musical I've ever heard. And
I've always wanted to see that movie remade, and I may have talked about this with you before, but that movie obviously was made on an extreme shoestring like everything else, but that was too big of a project to do with no budget. I mean, we tried to have music and singers and dancers and makeup, and every one of them were probably on a scale of 1 to 10. They were all probably a 5 or less. The singing was mediocre. The makeup was not the greatest. The camera work certainly sucked. And the dancing, the choreography was non-existent. And then, I tried to improve upon it when I did the live stage show. We did that in Hollywood for about 4 months, years after the movie came out. And there I sort of made some improvements. I put in more of a love story between two of the kids that go on the retreat. And, you know, I embellished it a bit. And I often thought this would be a great movie to be remade on a huge budget. I mean, I could see Tim Burton taking this, you know, like he did with what was the movie he did? Well, no, not him. It was Little Shop of Horrors. That was Frank Oz. But they took this little cheap movie made by Roger Corman and turned it into a, well, first it became a stage play, then it became a major film. Nudist Colony of the Dead starts out as a cheap movie, became a stage play, and that would be great to redo as a larger budgeted film, because we also added four new songs too, which we didn't have in the original movie. So, but there were so many problems with that film, I've sort of, you know, disavowed it a little bit, because it just wasn't shot well, you know. I mean, it really didn't work for me as a finished product, and I would love to see it redone properly someday, and maybe someday somebody will.
And let's certainly hope that's the case, you know. But
yeah,
even
well.
With its faults and that sort of thing, I still think it's probably the most audience friendly of all your films, and it's just such a nice film. You know,
it depends,
I mean,
on where you're coming from. I mean, there are some people that find a lot of offensive things in that movie. You know, they think the Asian character is racist, or at least his character is sort of anti-Semitic, or I don't know if you can use that word for Asians, but, you know, we've got him eating a hot dog with chopsticks. I mean, there's little quirky bits in the film that some people take issue with. I think there's a couple of things. I mean, obviously, if you're religious, you might have some problems, too, because we take a few pokes at, these religious zealots. But, again, you could probably look at any one of my films and find moments that might bother somebody. And as I said, that's never bothered me, because if I think something is funny, it makes it into the movie, you know, and
yeah.
If somebody's going to take offense at it, that's not my concern. It never was.
No. And I think that's one of your strongest points as a filmmaker. And just know that there hasn't been a film that you've done that I haven't liked. And I haven't thought.
Oh, I'm happy to see it. Have you seen them all? Have you actually seen every one of them?
The only one I have not seen is The Dead Don't Desist. That's the only one I haven't seen.
Desist. Oh, well, that's up on Tubi. So
I know. I've been catching up on all the stuff when I have time on Tubi.
Uh-huh.
Tubi, by the way, is awesome.
And
you found a really good home for your films there. I hope they treat you well and pay you well for that.
Yeah, I'll get a check about every 3 months from it. But, I mean, the thing is, before it gets to Tubi, it actually goes through two different middlemen. So, you know, I've got these two guys that represent me, and then there's a company that actually put it up on Tubi. So by the time the revenue trickles down to me, it's probably about 30% of what the movie's earned, which, is better than nothing, but it's certainly not as good as it could be, but it's okay.
Yeah, yeah. You're not gonna become rich, but at least it's a nice little revenue here and there. So there you go.
Yeah, it's pocket change, which is nice. But yeah, Tubi's been very, very good as far as like I said, every few months we'll get a check from them. But if you can handle the commercials, I'm not too fond of commercials, but I understand that's how it works for free entertainment. Mm-hmm. But yeah, definitely check that one out. That's probably on a par with all the other movies we've done. And especially with, like I said, we got two abortionists in it. We got a lesbian. We got a perverted priest. Who else is in there? We have a black filmmaker who wants to remake every movie with black actors now. And he's got some pretty funny bits in it. He wants to remake the movie Damn Yankees, but he wants to retitle it Them Motherfucking Yankees. And he's got
okay,
he wants to do a black version of the Terminator. what's the title of that one? Terminigger. But it's okay. He's black. He can say that. And if it wasn't a black actor, we could never get away with that line in the movie. But,
right.
You know, and then, of course, the catchphrase for the Terminigger is, I'll be black. You know, so, it's, in fact, the guy who plays that filmmaker, he's been in a couple of my movies. If you remember Rectuma, he was the mugger in Rectuma.
Ah, yes, I know exactly who you mean.
Yeah, he was the waiter in the God Complex. And anyway, this is his biggest role.
Okay.
For me. Yeah.
Oh, I know exactly who you mean.
Cool. So, yeah, definitely check it out. Check it out.
I will. I will. And
in
everyone
fact,
else
even,
listening to this, you got to check it out, too. So,
yeah, Robin Blythe is
I
even
one...
in it, if you remember her. she does a cameo. Nice.
Oh, that's cool. That's very cool.
Yeah.
So I think I have one more question for you. Now that you have a documentary on your film and career, what are you going to do next? Because I have a suggestion, perhaps. What do you have happening, or what do you think you're going to be doing?
What am I going to be doing? Well, I don't really plan day to day. I just sort of live life, you know. I mean, like I said, my next big thing is possibly this London trip. After that, you know, life is a fluid reality. Who knows? I'm basically living the life of a retiree. You know, I work in my backyard. I kind of upkeep my place. I have a girlfriend that I see on weekends, so I go up to her place every Saturday night, and then she comes here on Sunday. We have a movie night every Sunday with some friends. I've been doing that for
nice.
10 years or more. And, you know, I have a movie theater in my living room, so it's this, like, you know, big-sized movie screen. And that's a regular occurrence every Sunday night. But as far as what am I going to do, I don't know. You know, I'm going to get old and die. I think that's basically the way it works.
I think we're all going to get old and die. I'm on the way with that, but I was thinking perhaps, you know, you have this documentary, you love the arts, you've been doing this for years. I'm thinking maybe you should write a book about
I wrote a book back in 95, I think it was, or maybe 96. It was called...
You never told me this.
Oh, really? Yeah, no, it's called... what is it called? I think it's called Ultra Low Budget Movie Making, and it was a spiral-bound book. You might see it on my website, even though it's out of print now. But, we sold it back then. And the thing about the book nowadays, this was written before digital filmmaking. So it's kind of outdated now. But there's parts of it that aren't outdated because it kind of gets into the mental attitude you have to be in to make one of these films, and, you know, the dialogue you need to get into with your actors so that you can get them all on board and make them interested in what you're doing. So that part of it never goes out of date. But other than that, I was talking about the whole Super 8 filmmaking process and, you know, the problems with those cameras and sending it to the lab and all that. But yeah, that book, that was around, you know, 95, something like that. It was in libraries, and it was, we used to sell it on my website. And you might find one on eBay every once in a while. Somebody posts one on eBay. But yeah, been there, done that, sir. What's next?
Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, right.
Never
write
mind.
Write the new book. Yeah. I
well,
mean,
you
there,
know what?
I, there,
do a mystery. Do something, you know. Whatever.
Yeah.
The job.
I don't really
a bad
know.
Joke.
Yeah.
But anyway, I will say this, Mark. You are, whatever happens, you know, you've got our support, and we love you dearly. And congratulations on this.
Oh, I appreciate that.
This is really good news, man.
Yeah, you can always go to the website because I try to keep it up to date. And in matter of fact, I'm probably going to post this on the website. I don't think I've done it yet, but I might have mentioned something about it earlier. But when they have the poster, the new poster up and all, I will put that on there, and I'll probably stream some video, and, you know, who knows, if I do the London thing, I'm sure I'll have video and clips and things like that. So, yeah, just stay on top of the website, you know, and try to keep that up to date.
Absolutely, and give us all that information, the website and what you find on there and that. Do a little promotion right now, man.
Well, the website is pirromount.com, pirromount.com. And on the website, it's pretty much a potpourri of a lot of stuff. It's got clips and trailers from every film I've ever done, even the short films. I've done a bunch of music videos. I think you knew that I did a lot with Judy Tenuta, the comedian Judy Tenuta.
Right.
And before, you know, she passed away last year around this time, actually. And so we did several of those. We've got some videos. I think it was called The World Accordion to Judy, series of those. Anyway, those are up there. A lot of those, there's links to a lot of those up there. We do a lot of merchandising. You know, we sell posters. We sell the Submissive Jesus toy. We still sell. We sell DVDs. I mean, there's a whole potpourri of stuff up there. You could spend, it's like Disneyland. You could spend days on the Paramount website.
And I have been there, and he's not kidding.
Yeah, right.
And by the way, if you ever want to do another commercial for Submissive Jesus, I will be the spokesperson and not charge you anything. I love Submissive Jesus.
Oh, you have a Submissive Jesus yourself, do you?
Oh, yeah. Remember, I ordered one from you.
I don't remember you ordered one, but great. Yeah, we still got a nice supply. You know, I had 2,500 of them made back in the God Complex days, and I probably have a little more than half still. So, you know, they're not a huge seller, but they do go here and there. You know, and as far as you know, we might sell some through this documentary, because we do spend a good portion of time talking about the sins of Jesus and all that went on there. And in fact, this new documentary that I'm just finishing up, the one on the God Complex, we tap on that a little bit there too. So I think it'll find its renaissance, you know. It'll be a collector's item.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, Mark, I know you've got things planned for later this evening. I want to say thank you very much, and we appreciate you being on and spending time with us here. Seriously.
Oh, very happy. Happy to do it, Carl. I appreciate your interest.
All right. So what I can tell you is this, as far as what we're doing on Deviant Legion. Tomorrow, Rachel and I will be doing a commentary watch of one of her favorite films, Back to School, and it's PCU. And then on Wednesday, we have filmmaker Joe Black is coming on, and Joe and I are going to be doing a commentary watch on the 1970 film Getting Straight, which stars Elliot Gould. Joe and Elliot are good friends, and Elliot had his birthday last month, so we're doing this in honor of Elliot Gould's birthday. And
great. And
so that's what we have basically set for now. I can tell you this, on Sunday, TC will be back, and he'll be doing a music show. And am I missing anything? Let me just make sure of this. I don't think so. But you never know. No, we're good. That's it. That's what we got. Again, Mark, thank you very, very much for being with us. And at this point, I think we're going to say good night. So thanks a lot, Mark. Appreciate it, man.
Oh,
good night, everyone.
Good night.
All righty.
Up the air?
I don't say good night. Yeah, we're still there, but not for long. Good night, people.